tells my secrets. She wasn't to tell anybody I fell. But the doctor told me this. Yeah, I'm all right, really. Lord really must have been there with me. I was going into the church and there at Hope Sound for the funeral. I don't know what happened. The last step I probably tripped on, you know, and tried to get up and fell down again. But the doctor had told me this week if I need to get a bone density test, so I took my own test and I passed. Didn't break a bone. Anyway, thank the Lord. I really have to. I don't think there was anything. I am not even sore today, so I'm very, very grateful. Well, let's just bow our heads. Father, as we study this today, please help us. Help us to understand, help us to know, and how to use it in our own lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're still talking about confronting. I really do have a great desire that people would learn how to confront, because I do feel it would keep a lot of problems down in our lives, in the church, in the community, in our work, if we just knew how to be able to do this together and really have, come out with something even better than what we had in the sense of our relationships. But you know, as a Christian, sometimes in the Christian culture, we become too, I don't even know the word to say, I don't want to say too soft, but we begin to think that we shouldn't do anything, that we shouldn't confront, that we just should take everything and just let it pass off. But you know, many times in doing that, there's things that stay in our heart that shouldn't. And the problem keeps going on and on. See, we need to stop the problems, and we don't want anything to hash in our heart. So we need to understand from God's word when I should confront and not feel that, well, I should never, but we need to understand, because we're here to help one another. I think sometimes we need to just hammer that more into each other in our churches. We're here not to hurt each other. We're not here just to give each other smiles, you know, and put on our Sunday face. We're here to help one another. And if God can help us to do that in His way, in the right way, we will find out that many problems may just dissolve itself. In our lesson, you'll see what it says there. The Bible is a relational book, and it is. You'll find out that the whole Old Testament was on relationships between kings and people, between husbands and wives, between workers together. It was a relational book, and it talks about the relations and working with people. And so the Bible is very relevant when it comes to He has a standard for the way we are to interact with one another. And that's why we must learn what is a standard and how to react. So as we do that, therefore, we have scriptures supporting us to confront. When someone violates God's standard and steps over your moral, over your physical, or over your emotional boundaries, or those of another person. So actually, we need to understand, Lord, when do we do it? Now, number one, as you'll look on your paper, and I hope you have your Bibles, that you have them, because we're going to look at some of the scriptures this morning. God declares that we're to show respect and to be treated with respect. This is what He has for mankind. And I really think respect is something that is very valuable. I remember when I was just first in college, in Bible college, and I had my first English class there, and he was talking about some of the things, and he, you know, the word study and biblical words and so forth study. But he said, what is love? And you know, the first thing I thought of, it's respect. And I think that's not the whole, that's a young person, it's 18, 19, saying that. But that's what it meant to me. Love is when respect. You know, that's the problem in many marriages. Women will come to me and say, I hate my husband. But what happened? They've lost respect. They don't respect them anymore. And when we can't... Now, sometimes I understand that when someone has committed adultery or some things you can't trust in them, you have to learn how to trust as they build trust in you. But the fact is, many times it's not that. It's that they've lost respect in their husband or lost respect in their wife. Now, you think about that. And so we see that respect is due each person. It doesn't come by social levels. It doesn't mean if you're the president, you gain all this respect. It doesn't mean if you're the head of anything. If you're just an employee, and I feel the same way about those who are disabled, those who are mentally deficient. I owe respect to them. And I learned even in my younger life when we were working in mission, I respected those who were even drunk. Not that I liked what they were doing, but they were a person. And everyone should, under God, be respected. I don't like the way they act. I don't like the way they smell. I don't like... What we like doesn't matter. You know, that's why we're where we are. Because all of life is what I like, what I want, what I think is good, what I think... Friends, life is not bound up on us. Isn't that right, Sister? It's not bound up in us. Life is bound up in God, and He has some of the most beautiful principles that He wants you and I to live by. And this is why, this is the thing to me, as I have grown in the Lord and spiritually, I have to thank Him for some of the ways I acted and how I was and how sarcastic and how I could be manipulated. Oh, I could manipulate. I tell you the truth, I could. I had a nice smile. Even I grew up with a nice smile, you know. Someone told me, all you have to do is smile at somebody, and then there they are. But I've learned, when God showed me, that's not the way you live. And I want you to know now, I am afraid of manipulating. I don't manipulate anybody. I can say that from my heart, because God showed me, and He changed me. And when I smile at you, I mean it. I'm just telling you how you can go from one thing and how God can change your life. I was very sarcastic. I was a bit like Mrs. Shee, only I could do it with a smile. I could stick a knife into you and smile at you nicely. God had to take that from me. I was very possessive. I liked to have my friends. I was very possessive. I had a lot of hurts from that. You know, people don't want to be, you possess them. Before long, they're gone. And there you are with your heart saying, oh, you know, that kind of thing. I am so glad that God changed me in that area. So you see, when they talk about what do you want to be a Christian for, it's more than being your sins forgiven. It can be a life that as you go along, God shows you and makes you and molds you into a different person. And that's what I enjoy so much about it. So let us look now. I've given you a long introduction. We don't have a whole lot of time. But let us look now at 1 Peter 2, 17. It's in the New Testament, toward the end. 1 Peter 2, 17. My Bible don't want to load it. Oh, I'm in trouble. Here I'm sitting there thinking. Okay, now there. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. I'm very glad. Here's what the Lord is trying to show us, that we are to respect each other. Now, I don't know how you feel about this. I want today to have you to discuss some of these things, because some of them are not, maybe, I tend to be a person that lets things ride. I'm ashamed of myself at times. I just don't want to shake the boat, and I don't want to hurt anyone. Particularly, I don't want to hurt anyone. But I'm finding out, and I have found out, that when we don't hurt someone, we have more problems than if they, the very first little hurt, and then it's gone. And so I feel like what we need to do, because God said we are to respect one another. We're to honor the king. Now, I had a little problem over that in 2008, because it's just not because I'm a die in the wool Republican, but I felt like, you know, the things I heard and the things it sort of brought some feelings up in my heart about the president. I know none of you have that, it's just me. And so the Lord began to speak to my heart about that. You know, I don't agree with his policies. I don't agree with his programs. But I cannot make it a personal thing. I must honor those that are over me, because they deserve that respect. Maybe not as a person, but as a position. And so we must learn how to treat people with respect. We deserve it. And so what happens when people don't treat you with respect? What do we do? Do we just let it go? That's why we need to learn how to confront. That's why I'm saying, sometimes our children are very disrespectful. Some children. And we sort of don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to sort of rock the boat. We just let it go over. And there we are, allowing our children to feel that we are accepting this disrespect. But now, do I just say, shut your mouth, don't say things like that? Is that going to be the way to teach our children to respect? No. That's why, and we have to understand, we're dealing even with our children. Now, there's times that they have to be punished. Times that we must let them know that this is true and that they must follow the way. But I think that there's one thing that we have to understand. Our children can, if we teach them, can begin to understand when we talk to them and try to show them, you know, that what is the right way? What is the better way? This is not always easy to do, because we are very emotional people. And when our children, and I'm learning this more and more with these little grandchildren of Mrs. Shee's, because they're like my own grandchildren. And I see more and more how they can be so, you know, they can really get out of order. And how if you have an emotional trigger, that they can trigger you. But, you know, men too, don't put everything on the women. Teach your children how to confront and how to be confronted in a way that they can begin to understand. And that's something you need to teach them from the youth up. But now what happens when it's husband and wife? How do you disrespect each other sometimes? Anybody know? You mean all of my people are very respectful to each other? That's wonderful. I just didn't know I had such a wonderful group of people. How do we show disrespect to each other at times? See, these are some of the things that we don't really think much about. We're trying to think, don't be afraid to talk. I'm nobody. Just say what you have to say. But how do we sometimes? Because how can we help each other if we don't even know that they're disrespectful to us? Anybody know? Well, I think name calling is one way. stupid, you're foolish, or, and there's worse ones I know. I can't say them. But even just disrespect each other and tear each other down. You know, sometimes our husband does something we just don't like. And the wife does something that we just don't like. Why is it that we cannot center our rebuke on the thing that they did wrong? Why is it we have to center it on the person? You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that when many times when you get angry with each other, you don't get angry and talk about what they have done, but you begin to talk, you're just like your mother. You're just, and going on, and you know, you never do anything right. You're always, you know, I can't even think because I don't have a husband. Bless my soul, and I don't even know it. But you know what it is. That's why I wanted to add, I need some help. I need some illustrations here. But anyhow, you know what I mean. You feel it when you're disrespected. And you can feel it when you're disrespecting people. And this, God said, needs to be rebuked, needs to be confronted. And when we can learn how to say, now listen, we're angry, and I don't want you to disrespect. Don't ever let your husband disrespect you. Don't ever let your wife disrespect you. I may have problems, I may have situations that you don't like, and I don't like myself, but I don't want you to disrespect me. We owe that to each other. But sometimes we really forget it. Let's look on to the next one. God declares that you are to speak truthfully from your heart, and that others are to speak truthfully to you. Now, this can have a double edge. For when we want to speak truthfully, trying to hurt them, we have to be careful how we say it. And that's why I said it's the attitude, it's the motive, it's how we go at it, even with our emotions, that makes all the difference in the world. You can speak what you think is truth. I want to tell you the truth. You and your family are not worth much. Well, now that's not the truth. They're worth something. And when you do that, what have you happened? You've disrespect them. The truth that you're telling is really not truth. You may not care. They may be lots of problems within them, but it doesn't mean they're not worth anything. So your truth there is your own, and you're hitting at them. You're cutting at them. You're not really wanting to heal. You're wanting to hurt. And you see, that's the difference. That when you can say to someone the truth, you know, I feel like your mother doesn't really respect me. She doesn't think I do anything well. She does, and I really feel like this hurts our relationship. And the man will probably then say, even, well, some of it's your fault. And she'll say, and you can say, probably some of it is. Because we have a way of, when people hurting us, drawing back, not having much to do with them, not really caring that much. And so there comes a deeper a divide there, because maybe the mother-in-law is that way. She's probably choleric, she's probably bossy, she's probably controlling, and she's lost the son that she's loved so long and done so much for and care. That's her mind now. I just have done everything for him, and now this woman's in here, and she doesn't know how to cook. She doesn't know how to clean because she's gone to college and got her master's degree. She didn't get it in cooking or cleaning. And so probably they're not very good cooks and probably not too good at cleaning the house at times, you know. But the fact is that we need to be able to. And so then when the mother-in-law and you have a little, you know, she really is. She's bossy. And she really does have a way of hurting you and of belittling you. And then what do? If you're a person that is a person that gets angry very much, or a person that is one who tells what I think, you probably have told her off. But there's not many of them in the Chinese. Now, the Americans, But the Chinese, you're more loyal, you're more polite, you're more, you hold back things. But the problem is when you hold back things, you're holding it in your heart. And it just gets bigger and bigger as the years go by. And you really show that mother-in-law that you don't really care much for. Not by words, just by your attitude. I had a friend, we had a man and his wife here in the church. They went back to China. They got old. They lived with their son and daughter-in-law. She never spoke to them. Never spoke to them. In the same house. Why? Because I'm sure of things that happened when they were younger. So you see, we need to understand how to be able to settle problems in our life that don't go on for a lifetime, that don't build up resentment in our heart, but that we know how that God can help us to go right at it and in the right way, and you might be surprised what happens. You will many times be surprised. Okay? God declares that you are to listen to others, and others should listen to you. Now, let's look at that. I like to, James 1:19, and I'll get someone to read because it looks like my Bible's out of sync today or something. Slow. I've gotten to depend on this Bible and my iPad so much. Dorothy said, "Where's your Bible?" I said, "I don't know." But did anyone have it yet? James 1:19. Mm-hmm. You go read it. Well, one of you read it. She'll read it for us.
When you brothers speak correctly, anyone should be sick to listen. Those who speak to those who are sick.
Did you know that was in the Bible? We are to be quick to listen, slow to respond. Boy, if we were that way, we'd be wonderful people. But we're swift to respond and slow to listen. Because listening, in a sense, in communication is an art. One that you have to develop. Because we have, many of us, very difficult for us to listen. I'm that way. I was very difficult for me. I'm learning better and better. If the Lord let me live another 100 years, I might be a good person. But I'm learning little by little that, listen, let them speak, listen. Because so many times when people begin to speak, we're already thinking of what the answer should be. All right? I'm glad that some of them are smiling and shaking their head. Yeah, they know that. And so many times if we're angry, we don't even want to hear it. We sort of close it off. But if we can learn how, if you and your wife and you and your workers can learn how to listen to each other, because I want to tell you, we misunderstand each other a lot. Just because we are not listening carefully. Just because sometimes when they begin, we sort of make our own ending to it in our thoughts. And if we learn how to listen to one another, that's why they tell us, you know, with your child, the best way to teach them this is when you say something to them, have them repeat it back. I'm talking about commands. When you say, "I want you to go and pick that up." And then you say to them, "What did you say?" And they repeat to you, I want you to go and pick that up. See, it has established in their mind. Many times when you say, I want you to go and pick that up, they're on their way to something else. Their thoughts are somewhere else. They're not paying any attention. They get used to our voices. And sometimes, even as husbands and wives, and as bosses to their workers, sometimes we need to say, "Now, what did you say?" Particularly if it's something that hurts. "What did you say?" And if they'll repeat it, then, "Oh, is that what you meant?" Have you ever had trouble and you've said, you and the two, your husband and your wife, you know, and you accuse each other and they'll say, "But I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. That's not the way I meant it." And the whole time, the other one's chafing and hurting because they have heard you in their own way. And so when you say to them, what did you say? And they, if they don't repeat, did you say, maybe it's even better to say, did you say this? And they'll say, oh, no, I didn't say that. I said da-da-da-da-da. So there are many ways that you, or there are ways that you and I can learn to listen. Even when you feel like you want to blow up, listen that to them out. It's when we get both voices going and it gets higher and higher and higher that we have all of our emotional problems. That's many times why men begin to hit women. They can't take it, so they'll hit them. Because the wife's over top of them, and they're over top, and they're going at it, you know. And when they have a very bad anger, and before you know it, they've done it. Sometimes they're so ashamed afterwards. I had a friend of ours that he was a big man. His wife was a little woman, but he had such a temper. And when she would go on, and they would have it, he would slap her across the room. Then he feels so bad. But you see, this is what happens many times. That's why you and I must. And we're not too old to learn. We can learn until they put the ashes over us or put the dirt over our grave. We can learn. We can take ourselves in hand with self-discipline, and we can do some of these things. And it makes life so much better. What would your life be like if you and your husband weren't always at each other? Or you and the children were always at odds with each other? We have to learn how to do some of these things. So remember, learn how to listen well. God declares that you are to express appropriate anger and to have anger appropriately expressed towards you. Now, what does he mean by that? I thought we're never to get angry. That's foolish. Anger is an emotion. Those who are overtly angry, they just have a very, very quick temper and but anger is just part of defending yourself. If we didn't at times get angry, we wouldn't know that we've been offended. And so let's see how God said to take care of our anger, because he knows we're going to have it. That's in Ephesians 4:26. Okay, doctor, read that. Then.
When you're angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down.
Okay, two things he said. When you're angry, don't sin. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, that's how God said to take care of our anger. Now, what does he mean when he says, when you're angry, don't sin? Well, I'm sure that's a fairly good topic there alone. Because when you get angry and it becomes rage, when you get angry and it becomes that you're hitting at one another to hurt one another, that's wrong to hurt people, to hurt one another. When we get angry, we can say, you know, I wish we can learn to say, I'm, you know, to our little children, just don't blow up. Just say to them, Mama is very angry now, and I don't want you to do that, or I'm going to punish you. You say, I can't keep myself calm like that. Well, I know you can't. Maybe you're going to say it in a louder voice, and maybe you're going to say it harder, and maybe you might have your hand on them to shake them, but you're going to have to try to help. Ask God to help you. To be able not to hurt them. Now, when I say hurt them, they need shaking up once in a while. Some of you don't believe in spanking. I believe that there are places that God has made very comfortable for spanking. And I believe there's times that you must let them know who's boss. We're team players. Dad and I are boss. You're on the team. So, but when we do it, we can do it not with a spirit of, I'm going to get, you know, that kind of thing. But with a spirit that is a little more in the sense of, I'm not here to just hurt you. I want to help you. I want you to change. I don't want you to like this. So when we think, yes, there is a righteous anger. Yeah, when somebody does something to someone and you know it's not right. I've seen how people treated others, and I have felt myself, you know. I really felt my righteous anger come. And there's times when, but that anger is not in a hatred sense. That anger is not in wanting to hurt them. That anger is to see justice done. I think that would you say more with the righteous anger. But then he goes on to tell us another thing. Don't let your anger, the sun go down on your anger. Now, why would he say that? Oh, there's a very good reason. When we are angry at one another, we can be angry. You know, I have an aunt, and I've told this many times, that was angry with her husband and never talked with him for 6 months. That's right. Ida lived in the same home with Homer, and she said, I never spoke to him for 6 months. Now, you see, she didn't let the sun go down in her anger. Many, many suns. But what I think God wanted us to see was, we are not to hold resentment. We are not to hold bitterness. We are not to hold hate for each other. We are to make up. Or we are to be able to calm ourselves down enough. You know, we want our way. We want my rights. We want it my way. And sometimes we'll hold out long until I can get it my way. Sometimes we won't talk to them for a couple days. Lots of times we sleep on the end of the bed or the edge of the bed. We're just not having anything to do with them. God said, no. That's when you get in trouble. That's when it ferments. Do you know what fermenting means? It's like a sore that's hurt, and it gets pussy, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. You may even cover up, like a scab can cover up an infection. But as our doctor knows, that infection has to come out before it heals. And this is the way it has to be in our lives. Or you can be miserable for days and days and days just trying to get your own satisfaction and your own way. You know, Shakespeare talked about the Jewish fellow that wanted a pound of flesh, you know? He didn't care whether the rest forgave or what. He wanted his pound of flesh. He wanted them to cut out a pound out of him, bloody him up, you know, just because he wanted his rights. He wanted it because a man had done something against him. But, you know, this isn't God's way. And this is why we need God in our life. Now, he doesn't tell us to do these things just to tell us to do them because he knows us. He's made us. He understands this nature of ours, this carnal nature. And that's why he said, give yourself to me. Allow me to take over. And let me begin to show you your problems. And as he does, we asked him to forgive us. And what I found out, when God begins to work with us, we see it right away. You know, usually when we get angry, we don't care. We just, you know, it just comes right off the top of our head. But you know, when God is working with us and helping us, when you get angry, you begin to feel it. Oh, done it again. Lord, I didn't want to do this. And the more we ask him to help, and the more we take senses of ourself, and we begin to get more of a self-discipline in our life, you'll begin to see how God begins to take that out of your life. And it's that growing process. That's what he talks about in maturing in the things of the Lord. Well, let's go on to another one. We're not going to get very far today, I guess. God declares that you are to give and to receive only justifiable rebukes. And let's look in Proverbs 15:31. and see how this, and this will do you good as you go home, to look up some of these scriptures and to think about them. You know, a lot of these things, we don't know what God wants because we didn't know his scriptures. We don't understand, you know. And as you do, you begin to see, Lord, help me. Can some, you get it? Pray. That's right. In other words, correction that is from the wise, that is really, truly, that's you. You know, when I counsel with people, you know, the first thing they do is blame each other. One says this, one says that, and they're blaming each other. And actually, there's a lot of truth in both of their statements, but they cover it up with blame. But when they begin to say, yeah, she's right, I do have that kind of attitude. And then he is able to tell her, and she'll say, yes, that's right, I know it, I know I'm guilty of that. And what he's saying is, when we go to confront people, make sure it's a justifiable thing that we're going to tell them. Something that's really wrong with them. Not something that's because of the bitterness of our heart, but because we know that what we're doing is righting a wrong. And this is one of the things that will help us. That when you go to make a confrontation, that you let them know. And we can do it in a nice way, you know. I want you to know that I really care about you. But I see that what you're doing to this person is not right. And I think that we ought to get this straightened out. Or what you're saying about me is not right. And you should tell them, I have heard that you said that I... Da, 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 and I want you to know that's not right. I want to get it straightened out with you. I didn't do that. I can prove that I didn't do that. And you'll see how embarrassed they get. Oh, I'm sorry. I heard it from somebody else. They must not have gotten it straight. So when we do something but do it when you confront, knowing that it is justifiable. They really did what you are telling them. Okay, let's look at God declares that you are to value and to protect your conscience. Our conscience is made up, I would like to say that it is God-given in this sense, that conscience, before the law was written, knew things that were wrong. They knew it was wrong to murder. They knew it was wrong to lie. There were some things that they just knew was wrong, even before the law was put down. So we do have a conscience, a moral something inside of us, that if it is trained right, all of these things that you try to teach your children, the moral issues, are then put in their little cupboard in their heart, their little moral cupboard. And when the situation comes, they have something to draw on. But the Bible says we can take our conscience and we can sear it so that we don't think anything's wrong or that thing isn't wrong because I don't think it's wrong. We can sear it. We can make our conscience hard. But he said we should value our conscience. And so when we say things and suddenly there's a little something in us that says, you know, that's not right. We should value that. We should say then, listen, I'm sorry. That wasn't altogether right. This is what he's talking about. You and I need to guard our conscience. And when we feel that something, sometimes when we have some trouble with people, after we go, we realize that, you know, I wasn't really right in that. And I shouldn't have done it, but we let it go. But we shouldn't. We value that conscience. Then we need to go back and say, you know, I really was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have said that. You said, I have to do that to my husband? You might be surprised. I have to do that to my wife? You might be surprised how that draws you both closer together. But lots of times we'll say, well, they deserve it anyhow. No, no. We have to be able to value and care for our conscience. And then also for the last one, to say no without feeling guilty. Now, Timothy 2:12, I think we should read this because some of us have problems in saying no. This is what happens to some of our children, you know, and our young people. They don't have the strength to say no. And they don't even want to get into some of the things they get into. But they don't have the strength to say no. And that's why we must teach our children how to be able to say no properly. Be able to stand for what they should. Now, some children are just made that way. They're going to stand. But there's other children. You have your phlegmatic children. You have your sanguines. You have some that just want friendship and they want to keep peace. And so they just don't bother. They just go on without saying no. Does somebody have that now? You have it? You read it then. Mm-hmm. That's right. We're to say no to those things which are wrong, those things which are sin, those things which are ungodly. And we should say no to things that will not benefit us. Sometimes somebody will ask you, let me give you an illustration. Dorothy's sister, wonderful woman, loved her to pieces. She was a very kind-hearted, loving woman. She was in the Presbyterian Church, and she was very active even in the, more up in the district and all that kind of thing. People loved her. Everywhere when Dorothy even goes now, they'll say, oh, how much we miss your sister. You know what happened to her? They were going, the group of them were going to the island not far from Taiwan. And she didn't really want to go that day. And she had said, I really don't feel like I want to go this, you know, to it. But her friend, she had a friend, oh, come on now, it won't be the same without you. And, you know, and her sister just was so much of a people person that she didn't have the strength to say no. Now, she was a wonderful swimmer. She went swimming every morning. So it wasn't that she wasn't. But she went there, and the group was out swimming, and they said, we're going to go in. And she said, I want to wait a little longer. Where they found her was on the beach, dead, drowned. Yeah. That's how Dorothy's sister died. Why? I really feel because she couldn't say no. If she had said no that morning, I'm really not going. Maybe she had a feeling that I just don't feel right about going. And yet she went over that. So what we need to do is be able to say no when we really realize it's best for us. And we must teach our children, our young people, how to say no. This is where so many of them that don't want to get in trouble, this is where they get in trouble. They have a couple stronger ones that, oh, come on, you're a chicken. And, you know, and kids don't, they want to be one of the crowd. They don't want to be a chicken. They want to be a hero, too. And they do things that they wish they had never, never started to do because they never learned how to say no. But God tells us when things are wrong, we must teach our children when things are wrong, say no. Say no. You know that you're an individual. You have a right to say no. And sometimes when your husband may want you to do something or your wife may want you to do something and you just feel like that's not the best thing to do. That's not good for our family. Learn to say no. Okay, we're at the 12:30, almost 12:30 now, and I know it's almost time for lunch. I hope you've gained something with the lesson today. And we're going to work on this again next week. I hope we finish up, but we're going to work on this next week. God bless you all. Have a good week. Lord bless them and keep them. Thank you. Now go get your coffee.